put it here.
In the hymnal, when we have the Lord's Supper practiced, look at page 237. On page 237, Holy Communion Liturgy, circle the preface and proper preface up at the top of the page on page 237. Let me show you in the hymnal, when we have a service of Holy Communion, it looks like this in the hymnal. We've had the sermon. We've had the prayers of the day. We've collected the offering. All the scriptural lessons have been read. Way back at the beginning of the service, we heard the Trinitarian invocation. We confessed our sins. We heard absolution. Now it's the service of the sacrament, the proper preface, the Lord be with you. Holy Communion, up at top page 237, underlined, the Holy Communion of Christ's body and blood is announced with the most ancient words of the liturgy, underlined, the Lord be with you. And then what happens there is, the Lord be with you with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And there's what is called a proper preface. Look at the bottom of the first full paragraph on page 237. And find where it says, the proper preface. And circle that. And I'll underline this whole sentence. The proper preface highlights each aspect of the Lord's work for us that is received in the sacrament and celebrated the cycle of the church year. The proper prefaces will say something to the... Like right now we're reading a proper preface talking about the work of John the Baptist during Advent. And then during Christmas, there's one talking about the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. If it's Easter, we're talking about His resurrection. It's got dot, dot, dot right here in the hymnal. And it's something I read from the altar. Then we sing, we've already talked about the Sanctus, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath, which is from Isaiah chapter 6. And then Hosanna in the highest, which people praised Christ at Palm Sunday. We chant or speak the Lord's Prayer. And then when we're done, then comes, it says, the words of our Lord or the words of institution. Look at the bottom of page 237. I'm going to read this whole paragraph because it's so important, and I'll tell you the things to highlight. Circle where it says the elements. The words of institution are the most important part of the liturgy of the Holy Communion. The words of institution, which are coupled with unleavened bread and grape wine, are what make of it the earthly elements, the very body and blood of Christ. Underline the earthly elements, the very body and blood of Christ. The words of institution declare what the sacrament is and how it's to be received. Take, eat, underline, this is my body which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you. And then this cup, underline, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words may never be omitted from the celebration of the Lord's Supper. They declare that the bread and wine are the true body and blood of Christ. Faith believes what the word says. The communion... Communicants, excuse me, can be certain that Christ's body and blood is given to them by their pastor because of the word of Christ, which makes it so. By the word of Christ, common earthly elements are made sacred and holy. When I speak these or chant them, these are the words of Jesus, not my words. And remember what we said, we as Lutherans emphasize. We are simply obeying Jesus. He's the one that said, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We didn't make it up. He's the one that said, take the bread, I give you my body. Take the wine, I give you my blood. We speak these words, we simply believe what Christ has said and hold to it. And it's not magic, but it is a sacrament and it is a mystery. Remember we said at the outset of this class, Christianity does not apologize for the mysteries. Remember how I said that? We don't apologize that it's beyond our understanding. There can be one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it is how God has revealed Himself as who He is. So even though it's beyond our understanding, we will tell people it is a mystery, a godly mystery, but it's true. There is only one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The person of Jesus. We're about to celebrate at Christmas. How can this little baby in the womb of the Virgin Mary be God in human flesh? A mystery. Christians admit it. You bet it's a mystery. We're not going to apologize for it. But Jesus says He is God along with the Father, even though He's a man inside His mother. Another great mystery. the mystery of baptism. How can God just take some water and baptize a child or a person, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to this person with some water and some words? I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. Remember, we looked at all the passages. When somebody is baptized, they're buried with Christ. They die with Christ. They're raised with Christ. They're clothed with Christ. Doesn't look like much, just pouring some water. Same thing with the Lord's Supper. Ordinary bread, ordinary wine, but through this, He's going to attach His gifts of Himself. What I think is so beautiful about this is that He takes ordinary things and does extraordinary things through those ordinary things. Right after that, before we take the Lord's Supper, we sing, O Christ, Thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world. Here we are back at Passover again, and we're remembering, oh, this is the real Passover Lamb, Christ. And remember John the Baptist, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's all coming together in the Lord's Supper, the fulfillment of the Old Covenant in the person of Christ. And the only reason why he has to make a big point here is that we never change this is because I would have never in my own lifetime have thought it could have gotten so weird as it has in the theological world in which we live today. This is not happening in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, but in churches where they are having like bread and grape juice, and they don't even say the words institution, and they just are passing it out, and they call that Holy Communion. The pastor doesn't institute it. They just start handing it out, passing it down the aisles, and they think that's the Lord's Supper. Or I've heard of youth groups at a retreat where the youth leader says, we're going to have communion, and they get some pizza and some Pepsi, and think they're having Holy Communion. I mean, I would have never, growing up, ever imagined that this would ever happen. It's sacrilegious is what it is. It's sacrilegious. But that's the world in which we live. And so, the Lutheran Church, because we believe the Scriptures, we're just going to do it exactly the way Jesus said. And we have the bread, and we have the wine. And what we're going to talk about after the break is we're going to look at, if you look at page 59, what is this gift that is being given to us as a means of grace? And immediately after the break, we're going to look at the three different views of the Lord's Supper. And I bet what I really like about showing people the three different views. Once you see the Baptist view, the Lutheran view, and the Roman Catholic view of the Lord's Supper, all kinds of lights will go on. You will understand why their church services go as they go, their liturgy, their order of service. All this will come together once you understand the three different views of the Lord's Supper. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's take a break. Let's stop right here.